This morning's scripture lesson is taken from John, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine and until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Guys, it's me. Will you please all pray with me for a moment? God, take the words that I am about to say and transform them into a message from you, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This fall, Chris and I had the opportunity to fly to Maryland for his brother's wedding. It was held in the backyard of the bride's childhood home. And when I say backyard, I actually mean a gigantic farm-like area, which we didn't know until we actually got there. They had 75 to 100 guests outside in this beautiful tent. But as the night grew on, it got a little cold and got a little rainy. So we got to go inside, because when you have a backyard wedding at your own house, you have to expect all 75 and 100 people to end up in your house at some point, right? And this was like walking into a Pottery Barn catalog. It was gorgeous. Everything was pristine and perfect, and somehow they made the whole house tie in to the theme of their wedding. All of the centerpieces had kind of sort of found their way inside and decorating the house, so it all felt like you're a part of one venue. And it was beautiful. So when I read this story, I started reflecting on that wedding, and I kept coming back to, why the heck were these giant stone jars just chilling out in the corner unused? Like, throw some flowers in there, bring them out, make a centerpiece? I don't know. Tie it into the wedding theme somehow. Why are they there, forgotten, alone, right? Like, the wedding that we went to was one day long. This was a seven-day wedding that Jesus was at. Can you imagine all of your in-laws? Okay, fine, I'll just leave it at that. Yeah, just 7 days, in-laws at your house. Okay, you're going to clean, right? You're going to make sure everything looks great before they come. But that's not what happened here. There were these jars sitting in the corner, these ritual jars, and they were just collecting dust. I mean, okay, maybe I shouldn't be too surprised that these ritual jugs were just sitting there, because it happens all the time in our lives, doesn't it? Something else will come along and we'll forget about this religious practice, and that gets set aside. Something more fun and exciting comes along and it pushes the boring old religious stuff into the corner, out of the way. When we're given a choice on a Sunday morning between brunch with friends and going to church, which would you choose? Good job, you all came here. You get extra heaven points. I applaud you. But now you're thinking about those mimosas and Eggs Benedict, aren't you? I know. I'm sorry I brought it up. So maybe that isn't what you have to choose between. Maybe it's when the Broncos play, and it's an early game because they're on the East Coast. Or maybe your kids have a birthday party. Or maybe you just really want to sleep in. Maybe it's not a Sunday morning where your ritual gets set aside. Maybe it's about an hour before bed and that Netflix timer starts counting down. It's 15 seconds before it plays the next episode. So you have 15 seconds to quickly decide, do I get up? Do I move to go do a centering prayer practice? And all of a sudden, by the time that thought has entered your head, the episode's playing and, okay, one more won't hurt, right? Definitely, if I've never had that personal dilemma. No, definitely not. There tends to be something else that will grab our attention more. So there will be one more empty ritual jar being pushed aside into the corner, making room for something else. I mean, most of us, we don't suddenly abandon our rituals or spiritual practices. It's not like we wake up one morning and be like, ugh, religion, I'm done with that. No, it's a slow creeping sort of thing. It catches us off guard, and slowly our rituals start to dry out. They get pushed aside, they're forgotten. Might be because there's a birthday party or a sports game that you wanted to go to. Or maybe it was because you misplaced the book you were reading for one of those great adult ed classes and you didn't want to show up and be the only one who didn't read, so you don't come. Or maybe it's because this week you had so many meetings and there's so much happening at night that the whole family couldn't sit around the dinner table. And so you didn't get to say grace together. There are always things to do, places to be. There are always more jars drying up and pushed aside. We all have our reasons. We spend so much of our time caring for others that we'll forget about ourselves. We get so busy that we forget to appreciate the little things in life. We're so anxious about how we spend our time that we can't waste our time on something that doesn't have immediate payoff. Better things come along, so we do something else. And if we're really honest with ourselves, I think we'll admit that those rituals, those spiritual practices, dried up long before you pushed them aside. It was way before you went to brunch or allowed Netflix to proceed to the next episode or allowed your busyness to overcome saying a prayer as a family that those prayers lost their meaning. We want to spend time on things that enrich our lives, despite how many other things we do that seem meaningless. Really and truly, what we're searching for in all of that busyness is something deeper. So maybe we come back to church and we find that our stone jars are dry. And there's nothing in them anymore. Maybe this came to be through rationalization or boredom or fear of something new. We've progressed our way into a desert, and there's no water out there. It's just dry and empty. I don't know about you, but I found myself in that desert more than once. I have found that all of the rituals were dried up and collecting dust in the corner. You see, when I was in seminary, for me it was actually corporate worship that was completely dry. My friends would always joke that there was chapel every single day, and you always knew exactly where I was not going to be. Because it stopped having meaning for me, so I stopped going. It honestly felt like I was sitting there in class because we were learning about how to properly lead a corporate worship service, and so I would sit there and be like, oh, well, you did that wrong. Oh, that's a different, oh, and it stopped being a worshipful moment where I was taken out of myself and my own worries and displaced into something bigger and better. That was just one of my deserts. Yeah, we don't have time to talk about all of them. You're welcome. But I don't know where your deserts are, but I know that you have them. I know that there are things that don't have that same meaning anymore. Maybe you're wondering why. When I found myself in that desert in seminary, I remember the Old Testament stories of burning bushes and giant whales coming and getting people back on track. I would have done anything for a giant whale to swallow me up and spit me out right where I needed to be so I could find meaning in that again. Or at the wedding in Cana, how awesome would it be if you had Mary standing there being like, Jesus, intervene, please. It's time. They need you. How awesome would that be if that actually happened? Oh, my gosh. Mary, if you want to prove me wrong and show up, go ahead. But the reality is we have to put in that effort ourselves. We have to be the ones who realize that the stone is dry, that the jar is empty, that we've pushed it aside. And we have to choose to change that. Because the burning bushes happened to one person. The rest of the disciples, they all had to figure it out for themselves. So when I find myself in a desert, I like to sit down and take inventory of the things that had meaning for me in the past. What used to really matter to me? When were the times that I felt closest to God? Is there something there worth revisiting? Now, I know if you do the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result, you're insane. Okay, I get that. But maybe we don't leave it exactly the way it was. Maybe we find the way that we felt close to God before, and we try to figure out where we went wrong and what we could do different this time. The number of times I have decided, I know, I'll wake up in the morning and read my Bible first thing. You guys don't really get to see me first thing in the morning. It's not pleasant. It doesn't work for me to do devotions first thing in the morning. So I've had to learn how to do them later in my day. And that works better for me. So what works better for you? What doesn't work? You have to figure it out. You have to put in the effort. Refilling the stone jars and renewing the rituals, feeding your soul, it takes work. And Cana, at that wedding, there were servants that had to pull out those stone jars that could hold 20 to 30 gallons of water. And they lived in a desert, and they had to fill 6 of those big, huge jars. Slowly, filling them up until they were full and ready for use again. Think about how long that would take, how many trips to the well that would take. It takes effort. And those servants, they had no idea what was going to happen next. Maybe they thought Jesus was going to distract everybody with about the lack of wine with doing some sort of spiritual ritual now. Maybe they thought that somehow water was going to replace wine. We're just going to drink water. It's hot out, guys. Let's give this a try. I don't know what they thought, but they certainly had no reason to expect that this ordinary ritual of water would somehow be transformed into an abundant celebration of God's grace and love amongst us. The wedding party continued to celebrate. People rejoiced, and they thought this was better than anything that had ever happened before. It was better than anything they had ever tasted or experienced before. You see, when we invest in these rituals, when we dig deep and stay committed to our faith journey, Jesus is going to show up and transform our efforts. Those ordinary moments will start to become extraordinary. You just have to open yourself up to the possibility. You can rationalize it all away. It's really easy to do. Oh, well, while those servants were filling up the water, Jesus actually snuck out, went to his house, grabbed a bunch of wine, brought it back. Surprise! You can rationalize it. But when you come in with an open mind, when you come in expecting God to do something great, something extravagant and abundant, you'll find that those rituals are richer and better and more meaningful than you ever could have imagined. You see, there's joy in knowing Christ. And there's something to celebrate when you're part of God's family. So now it's time for you to decide. You can make the choice. You can set your own priorities and expectations. Are you going to let things dry out and collect dust? Or are you going to dust them off and try again? Try again. Are you going to choose to step out in faith and believe that something worthwhile will happen? I hope so. At this table, we're going to have that opportunity. You can think of it as ordinary bread and wine or juice, or you can think of it as a divine meal, communing not only with everyone here, but Christians across the world, and God showing up and being present. That's what that meal is. I don't know what you're eating on Sunday mornings, but what I'm eating is an abundant feast of love and grace with God in each and every one of you. So let's eat.